This is Aaron Palmer with 307 Net Radio, and I'm sitting down with State Senator Dave Kinski, who has had a couple of weeks to kind of digest what happened during this year's legislative session. Good morning, Dave Kinski.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. Did you get a chance to get a little after the session?
I did, and I appreciate you understanding that sometimes with a little bit of time becomes a better perspective. Because when you first walk away from the session, you are usually just pretty well, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
And this session, for reasons I can't fathom, seemed to be fairly rough. It's not just me. A lot of my colleagues said they were feeling the same thing. So it was nice, and I spirited my lovely wife away and went skiing for a week and just enjoyed ourselves. So it's good to be back in the saddle and be visiting with you.
All right. I wanted to ask about your general overview, not necessarily about specifics, but just a general overview of the legislative session this year, your things that you're proud of, things you wish you could have done different, just the overall feel from your standpoint of what this year's session was like, please.
Well, I think with the perspective of about 2 weeks in the rearview mirror, it's helpful because sometimes you come away and all you see is the hole and not the donut, right? But looking at what did happen, I think it was a productive session. I think it was a very productive session. I think squirreling away $1.4 billion in savings, that's a big deal. I think getting some property tax reform underway, not exactly as fast as I had hoped or in the form I had hoped, but that's a big deal. So that's the nature of the process. You know, the founders didn't set it up to be easy. But those two things were front and center when we went down. Is this money all going to be spent, or is it going to be saved for the future? And then what are we going to do about property tax reform? So I think overall it was a productive session. I think it was good. For reasons that escape me, it was a pretty rough session. I don't know why that is. I guess it's just human nature. But it's good to be home, I can tell you that.
There was a poll that asked people what their take on the legislative session was and to give the legislators a grade. Basically, it was about 70% had given legislators a D or an F. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I'm not surprised. And it's nothing, not necessarily a reflection on this particular legislature. I think it's just the nature of how Americans feel about politics and politicians generally. You know, people get very frustrated with the system, with the taxes, with the bureaucracy. And so when they're given a chance to vent, out it comes. And probably if I weren't in the legislature and somebody asked me, I'd probably not be willing, I'd be pretty begrudging in my high marks as well. It's similar to the polls that are taken about the U.S. Congress, which receives terrible marks. Interesting, though, on the U.S. Congress, when they, in those same polls, and they say, how do you rate Congress? It'll be terrible. How do you rate your particular Congress representative? Usually it's way better. I would hope that if you drilled down a little bit further and said, you know, you give the legislature an F, but how did Kinski do? I'd hope I'd fare a bit better because, you know, I work hard at it. I try to listen to people. I try to represent my district. And I'd hope I'd score a little bit better than the legislature overall.
There are some in the state that look at the legislature in general, whether it's the Senate or the House or both, and they have a tendency to believe that conservatives, quote unquote, in the legislature seem to be siding with Democrats. Now, whether that's good, bad, or indifferent is immaterial, but the opinion is that that's the case. And I was curious as to what your opinion was on that, if that's the case, in your opinion, if it's just something that kind of looks that way when you're on the outside looking in.
Well, I did see the story, too, was just shutting down debate on a particular day in the House. I'm in the Senate, of course, but this was in the House. It was 8 o'clock at night. There were some bills that had not yet been heard. And it was a vote by a majority of the shut off any further consideration. And so that really caught people's eyes. You know, that's the classic politics makes for strange bedfellows. And I'm not sure why that particular combination came into effect. I'm sure there's a very logical explanation for it. You'd have to ask somebody other than me. I'm not on the House, but that was a real that really made you raise your eyebrows as to what was going on there. And again, it's probably something logical. I will tell you this, that with respect to property tax reform, what we were able to salvage at the last minute in terms of a constitutional amendment came about because of some Republicans and Democrats, including a Democrat whose reputation is for being liberal, came together to fashion a constitutional amendment that made it through both the House and the Senate by 2/3 votes to put on the ballot the opportunity to create a property tax class for residential, for owner-occupied residences. And that, you know, that's one that you go, okay, well, that's about as bipartisan as you can get. It was some people on the far right and some people, you know, out there on the Democratic Party came together to get that one put together. So that was good. You know, it's good. Whatever it takes to get it done, let's get it done.
Okay. Do you feel that people in general are willing to run for office, whether it be at the local or state level, or do you feel that they have, based on the current political, think that they might have a target on their back based on the current arena and what we're seeing in politics in general?
Well, I don't know about the target on the back thing, but I will tell you, it's very hard to get people to run for office for a number of reasons. One is, you know, part of that expectation is you're going to get up and do public speaking. Well, Aaron, you're used to being a public speaker. I'm used to being a public speaker. But you've seen the surveys where you ask people what their five greatest fears in life are, and divorce, death of a loved one, and public speaking, you know, are always in the top five. So that puts a lot of people off. And, you know, most people just want to live their lives. Most people are not into public policy. It's you know, kind of a rare bird that's into it. You got to have the fire in the belly, that's for sure. It's actual work. It's not just something you plug out a few yard signs and, you know, maybe you get elected. Maybe I want it. And I can tell you from when I was mayor in Sheridan, I always tried to recruit new city council members, and it was very difficult to do so. Very difficult. And if maybe it's the target on your back thing. I know I asked this one guy. I said, look, you're in business. You know, this town, the health of this community is important to your business. You would really do well on the council. And he goes, let them do to me what they do to you. No, thank you. But thanks for doing the job, Mayor. So you hear that every once in a while. But it's, you know, so the happy hunting ground for a lot of that is the younger people, I think. You know, I was speaking to a, again, this is going back to when I was mayor, I was speaking to JCs, and a young man there stood up and said, how do we get involved in politics? And I said, how you do that is you give me your name and your phone number and your email, and I will call you at the first opening I have for either the City Planning Commission or the Board of Adjustments or some other committee, and we'll get you started. And then you can see whether you really, it's something you really have an appetite for or not. And the best training ground is the Board of Adjustments, which what that is, Aaron, is if you've got a piece of property and it's zoned residential and you want to put a shop on it or something, and you've got to get a change, you know, what they call a variance, you go to the Board of Adjustments for a conditional use permit, and then neighbors all show up and say what they think about your idea to put a shop on that property next to their house. And the Board of Adjustments has to deal with that. The Planning Committee is, anytime says, here you have a chance to see a deal. And what I tell them is, here you have a chance to see angry people. You have a chance to see passionate people. You have a chance to see how much is actually involved. This is not easy. You got to read. You got to try and understand. You got to listen to the folks. You know, the person who owns the property has rights. The people next to the property have rights. And then just see how you feel about being able to say no to people who don't want to hear that. Or how you feel about saying yes, learning to just very diplomatically address those kind of things. And by the time I stepped seat, there were six city to take the Senate seat. There were six city council members, and I had forgotten I had recruited all five of them. Five of them I had recruited who cared about the community. All I wanted was somebody who cared about the community, who would listen, who would read, and who was reasonable. Didn't have an axe to grind, didn't have a hidden agenda. And I thought, if they have all the same information that I have, most of the time they'll probably come to the same conclusion you think, as opposed to react. But it was hard to get people to step up. It's always been hard to get people to step up. And I don't think that's unique to Wyoming. I think that's the whole country. It's probably the same way all across the world.
Follow up to that with the legislature. The new legislators that came in this year, there were quite a few in the House, a few in the Senate. But do you feel that they feel like they made a mistake, or do you think that they're still wanting to serve?
You know, we'll find out when it comes time for them to file for re-election. That's when you find out. The House, those are two-year terms, and the House historically has huge turnover. You know, from when I came in 9 years ago, I can walk over to the House side, and there's maybe three people there that were there when I started. On the Senate side, probably half the people are still there that were there when I started. The House turns over very quickly. I think what happens there, Aaron, is that people go, holy smokes, this is a lot more than I anticipated. You know, it looks good. And then you find out you're away from home for 2 to 3 months out of every 2 year period. That's a long time to be away from home. And if you work, you know, your paycheck takes a vacation and you get $150 a day, which is something, you know, but you know, most people in the legislature are earning more than that. So I think a lot of people go, man, I didn't realize that you actually lost money being in the legislature. I didn't realize it meant being away from home for so long. And I think a lot of them go, well, there's more to this than I thought. You know, I thought I was going to go down there and show these guys how it's really going to be done. And I get down there and find out it's pretty damn complicated. So you see pretty high dropout rate on the House side. Now, it may change this time because, as you know, we had a big red wave this last election. And that's when, you know, the red wave was because Liz Cheney was on the ballot and just people showed up right and left and has swept in a whole host of very conservative Republican candidates in the House. And those people are motivated by passion. And so they may stick around longer than is typical of the typical House freshman class. Certainly hope so, because there's some really good people over there.
I would like to ask what you have seen from your constituents, from people in Sheridan, Johnson County. Are you seeing that they're politically, more or less politically engaged? And if so, what are they concerned with? What are you hearing from people that you were representing?
Well, let's talk about engagement. So if you looked at my email, you know, I could not keep up this time. Just the inbox was just stuffed. In fact, I have a young woman that helps me. She goes through that and tries to identify emails that are genuinely from somebody in Sheridan or Johnson County. That's something other than where they hit a button on a website. That just zaps an email off to, you know, 93 different legislators at once. And so she would forward to me emails that came from people in my district. And if they were kind of the form email, she would compile that and say, okay, you had 13 people sent you the same email. And the email would be attached. It was a form email, but at least I knew that's what was rattling around. So there was a higher level of email-based engagement, but in terms of really digging down into and understanding the bills and the issues, there's still a little bit of ways to go there, in the sense that a lot of people will read the bill title and draw their conclusion. This legislation represents somebody that says, this legislation represents the end of the Republic. And so then they're, all right, golly, they're not going to do that to me. And a zap, here comes an email. And the things that are represented in the email about that bill may or may not be accurate. So, and I know it's really hard to engage. I know it's really hard to understand everything that's going on down there. And that's why I appreciate opportunities like this with you, where, you know, as you and I have spoken over every week through the session, there will be a bill come up and you'll say, hey, this is what I heard about that bill. And I'm saying, glad you asked, Aaron, because here's the backstory, or here's the rest of the story. And so I think being able to visit with you and other members of the media really helps get all the nuances of the story out there.
Fair enough. Let's talk about Harriet Hageman, because this...
Okay.
This kind of came up through in the session where there were some people that were concerned that she was giving an opinion on happenings in the state legislature where she is a U.S. representative. And there were people did not believe that was proper, even though she is still... you know, a resident of Wyoming, and she still is concerned about politics at the state level. But they were concerned that she was getting involved in that. So I wanted to ask what your reaction, or I guess the legislature in general, what was the reaction to her getting involved in that skirmish, so to speak?
Well, I can't speak for the legislature in general. I can speak for myself. She certainly is a Wyoming citizen. She certainly has a right to her opinion. She has some strongly held views on some of the legislation that was being drawered. Is there such a word now? I guess there is now, drawered, meaning the bill was stuck in somebody's desk and wasn't allowed to come out for debate or consideration. And prerogative. Everybody's got their own approach to that's certainly her prerogative. Everybody's got their own approach to public office. If I were in her situation, I don't know what I'd do. I generally tend to stick to my own knitting. But you know, I'm not a U.S. Congresswoman, and I don't know that I'm as talented and well versed as Harriet Hageman. She's a good person. She'll do us a great job.
Okay, fair enough. And my next question was your opinion on her, which you gave, so that we'll skip that question. The last one that I have for you, Senator Kinski, is how do you see the legislature governing? Do you see it changing? Is it going to be moving into the future? Do you see it changing? Is it going to stay the same? How do you see that in the future, moving forward?
Well, I think it's going to be... I think it's going to be the same in the sense that, you know, we are guided by our Constitution, and the legislature is a reactive body. Remember the old saying, Aaron, that the executive proposes and the legislative disposes? It's really hard to get initiatives going out of a legislative body. That's what you have a chief executive for, you know, to set the direction and the tone. I wish that there were a way for the legislature to set a clearer direction for the state of Wyoming. And of course, I know what I think that would be, but there's 92 other. I'd like to see us do more on promoting manufacturing and CTE. That would, our economy is diversifying. That would do. It's just really hard to get a legislative body to just, but it's just really hard to get a legislative body to just say, this is the direction we're all going in charge. We're going to take the hill. That's what you have a chief executive for. I think that there is this very strong split right down the middle in both the House and the Senate between very conservative people, which is where I count myself, and much more moderate legislators. And that we end up seesawing quite a bit across that dynamic, and so that leads sometimes where it's a little bit tougher to get some things done. that I would like to see done on a more conservative bent. So I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. You know, it's tough to make any dramatic changes in the American system of government because that's the way the founders set it up, right? You know, the governor has a veto, and it takes both the House and the Senate to pass legislation. So it's just tough to get things done. I don't think things are going to change in terms of the governance of the state of Wyoming tremendously much. Where the change really needs to happen is at the national level, where the bureaucrats are in charge. They run the whole show, it seems.
Okay. Senator Kinski, those are the questions that I have. Did you want to add anything before we wrap things up?
Well, I want to add how appreciative I am of you and the time that you have professionals on the job to help get the story out, Aaron. It's important to have professionals on the job that are getting the word out. And I couldn't do the job without you, and I appreciate it greatly.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for your time all during this year's legislative session and the wrap-up after the fact. Senator Kinski, thank you. I could not do this without you. This is Aaron Palmer with 307 Net Radio. Thank you so much, Senator Kinski.
You're very welcome. Appreciate the time.